1 Corinthians 16. Let me get back to it here. And let's begin to read just a little bit at the top of the chapter. And we'll hopscotch down into the chapter a little bit to get where we're going. But chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints." It's always good to be concerned about the collection, amen? "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now, obviously that has something to say to us, and I just pause here before reading on to say, you're getting down toward December 31st. It's a good time to review what you have given in 2013. And there just may be something that you could do to help pay for the improvements, or maybe they're already paid for. But there's other things you can do sometimes to advantage your church and advantage yourself at the same time. You know, we do have a tax code in this country. And every once in a while, somebody will say to me, "Well, I don't even want to put it on my taxes." Well, you're not thinking straight. You're not thinking straight if you don't add it up on your taxes and deduct it. You're actually taking money away from the Lord if you don't do it. Because if you diminish your tax liability legally, then you got more money to either use for yourself or to give away to the Lord's work. And so it's not where I'm headed here, but I read through this and I can't read over it and not encourage you to think about Blessed Hope Baptist Church as you get toward December 31. Just review what you've done. Betty and I, sometime this next week, we will look at our giving record up to now and see if there's more. And we always do. We always add some toward the end of the year. And I encourage you to do that. You can't outgive the Lord. Just find a way to give and do it. All right. Drop down to verse 9 now. And he says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now, all over the place these days, we have opportunities in abundance. I don't care where you are in this country. There are lost people within shouting distance. Amen. Yes, sir. And more of them coming all the time. Yes, sir. Some of them are born here. Some of them are imported. But we get folks of all kinds, sizes, shapes, etc., in all kinds of conditions. We have lots of opportunities. This passage says they're going to be adversaries. Boy, do we have those these days. I mean, we got them all over the place, and they're gaining strength. Gaining strength. They think they've got the country taken. They think they have. The liberals think they've got it. And every once in a while, me thinks they may too. But I'm not willing to just lay down and let them have it. I still got some fight in me. And I'm willing to take them to battle. When we have adversaries that threaten your family, your school, your church, your livelihood, your well-being, you and I don't need to plead like we're too humble to get into the battle. Goliath shows up. There ought to be a David somewhere who's not afraid to do what he can do. Now, all of that being said, and you and I live in some tough times, and if the liberals get their way, it's going to get tougher for us. They intend to do us damage and drive us off the cliff. They're not the nice people they want you to think they are. They're only nice when they're in the minority and when they're trying to get in charge. They get in charge, they play tough. Now, You say, well, what ought we to do? How ought we to handle all this with 2014 ahead of us? Well, let's drop to verse number 13, and there's a little set of instructions that work at all seasons. They work at every stage in the game. And they read like this. Verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye that know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus. You see the name there. Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Now, little set of instructions here. You and I have a responsibility in our stewardship, verses 1 and 2. We have opportunity, verse number 9, in abundance, but there are adversaries also all over the place. So what are we to do? How are we to function? Well, verse 13 says, first of all, that we're to be watchful. We're to be watchful. Several of you asked me already how my trip was coming up from Murfreesboro, Nashville. It went fine, except it did rain. And I don't mean just misty. From northern Kentucky this way, and I was driving in the dark most of that time, all of that time, I guess, it rained significantly. One of the guys said 4 inches here. Now, the rains come down. My phone goes off announcing a flash flood alert. So I can do one of two things. I can say, hey, no big deal. You know, traffic got light after I got out of Evansville. Coming up 41, coming across 48, not a whole lot of traffic. You know, it's raining, slow her down to about 80. you could do that. Don't think it's wise. No. The rains came, darkness gathered, and so I'd been driving, had my cruise set at 70, 71. But as the darkness gathered and the rain picked up and it began to puddle on the road, I slowed her down. Back over here on 48 coming in toward Jasonville, I was driving 45, 47, 48 miles an hour because there are places there where the water, you know, gets, and after dark you can't tell how deep the water is. So you say, what are you doing? I'm just watching. I'm being careful. I'm alert. In fact, one little stretch coming up 41, I called Betty, as I'd already done 3 or 4 times on the trip, and I said, I hope you're not into anything too much. She said, no. I said, because I nodded once, and I think it'd be a good idea if you and I just talked. So I plugged my earbuds in, laid the phone down, driving with both hands, watching with both eyes, and I got her talking in my ear. And that girl can talk, I'm telling you. She can talk. She stayed on the line with me almost to Sullivan. I mean, I was within 2 miles of Sullivan. I said, hey, I'm going to stop in Sullivan and grab by to eat. I said, I'll be fine now. But we've been online 34 minutes. You say, what's all that about? It's being watchful when there are dangers, when there are things to be concerned about. That's being alert to that. And with dangers to you, to your family, to your well-being, with all kinds of things going on, for us to bury our head under the covers or in the sands is not wise. Be watchful, he says. Second thing is, he says, stand fast in the faith. Pastor mentioned a minute ago about the wisdom of being in church on Sunday. Now, you say, well, what's the big deal about me coming to church every Sunday? Well, the big deal is if you do that and if you listen, you'll learn some things. And you'll learn some things that will help you to be strong when the enemy shows up and to be strong when the dangers come. You know, if you don't know what to do, then it's like, oh, we got a danger. What do we do? I mean, if I'm walking along the path and I see a rattlesnake 10 or 12 feet in front of me, I do not have to use my cell phone to call somebody. I have already been advised what to do about rattlesnakes. If the house catches fire, I don't have to call a committee meeting to figure out how to deal with it. I've already been advised about fires. Now, I was not born knowing how to deal with fire. I wasn't born knowing the danger of rattlesnakes. But somewhere along the way, somebody advised me about the snakes. In fact, not only the rattlers, but the copperheads and the moccasins and the black racers and the chicken snakes. I mean, anything that looks snaky to me. Your only good snake is a, well, yeah, you know. But if I'm advised, I know how to deal with the dangers. He says, stand fast in the faith. What you gain when you come to church is you find out things that will enable you and strengthen you and support you whenever you have things to deal with that might be dangerous for you or for your family. And so he says, you found out, when he talks about the faith, he's talking about our salvation, he's talking about our Christian life, he's talking about our eternal well-being. And he says, get into that and stand fast in that. Somebody offers you an alcoholic drink, if you've been coming to church at Blessed Hope very long, you've already learned that's not a good idea. Somebody offers you some kind of dope, you've already learned that's not a good idea. And so having learned that these things are dangerous to you, and you found out there's things in the Bible says about all of that. So what do you do about that? Somebody, you say, well, he's one of my buddies. I didn't want to disappoint him. Tell the dude to take a hike. If he is your buddy, he won't take you down those trails. But if he tries to take you down those trails, let him know, guys, that he's dealing with a real man, a Christian man, not some juvenile. Some of these guys that piddle with that kind of stuff, they're not as old as their years. They're not as smart as their years. If they were as smart as their years, they'd know not to fool with that. So you have the privilege, even at age 14 or 13 or 12 or 22 or whatever, you have the opportunity to demonstrate maturity above your years when you just stand fast in the faith. You say, well, what do you tell a guy like that? You know, I tell people sometimes, I'm a Christian. Okay. You wouldn't imagine, but it doesn't happen often, but once in a while somebody will actually offer me a drink of some kind that's, I mean, sometimes in some of the political events and things that I've been to, and I don't flinch. I just look at them and smile and I say, I'm a Christian. And that's all you got to tell them. They'll, in fact, by and large, most people respect you for that. Now, he says, stand fast in the faith. So you learn the good things of God. It'll help you to stand when other people are crumbling, when other people are sitting. It'll help you to stand. All right, we're figuring out how to make it in 2014 when the devil comes after you, folks. He says, watch, be watchful, be alert, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. See, what's he saying there? He's just saying, grow up. And instead of being a crybaby, instead of staying in preschool, grow up. You got a preschool here? You got a kindergarten? You got a kindergarten. Let's suppose that when school starts back in January, you showed up first day and you went to the kindergarten class and there was 3 50-year-old men sitting at the desk. I'm talking about the student's desk. We'd all wonder what's going on with those guys, wouldn't we? I was thinking a while ago, you talked about the high schoolers coming up here, and I said, you know, I was in high school once, 10 of the best years of my life. Now, you know, what he's saying here is, don't be a preschooler forever. Go ahead and grow up. Quit you like men. Act like men. Be mature. All right. Number 4, that same 13th verse, he says, be strong. By that he's meaning strengthen yourself so you will be able. Betty's always saying to me, we need to work at eating right. And I think I know what she means by that. I don't always do it. I did stop in Sullivan and eat last night. And you know what's on 41 over there. You got 3 choices. I'm hoping somewhere along the way there's going to be a government-funded study that's going to come out, and they're going to say, we've been wrong all these years. Fast food's good for you. I'm hoping for that any day now. But if you want to be strong, you do have to pay some attention to how you conduct yourself. How you eat, your activity, etc., your rest. And in your own personal character, in your personality, if you strengthen yourself as you go. You know, Pastor, if I thought I could help 1 or 2 people today to strengthen themselves just by my being here today, I'd be a happy camper when night comes. Whether some of these young guys or somebody with gray hair, if I help you a little bit today and you're strengthened for what you're going to have to deal with in January, I promise you, I'll be real happy when night comes. And what happens here 52 weeks out of the year? I mean, it's designed that way to help and to enable. So this verse gives us 4 things. We're to watch, be alert, stand fast in the faith, act like men, be mature, and be strong. Verse 14 gives us the 5th item when it says, let all your things be done with charity. Now, that word charity has to do with love and with care and consideration for everything that's involved. It says, let all your things be done with charity. You and I need to measure our words with charity. You know, somebody mistreats you, you don't have to chew them out. Get them told. In fact, back to number 3, the more you grow up, the less likelihood you are to respond to things that way. But he says, just do what you do and do it charitably. Christians of all people should learn to act with grace. Now, there's no conflict between being strong, being straightforward, being who you are, standing up to be counted, and doing what you do with charity. There's no conflict there. It's just a matter of determining that when you deal with somebody else, you're going to try to deal with them in the way you would like for them to treat you. And boy, when you do that, it helps a lot of things. Now, number 6, Drop down to verse 16. Let me touch one other thing here. Verse 15, he talks about the house of Stephanas. And he says, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You'll do yourself well to hang around some folks that have that kind of addiction. Brother Ross, you've been pastor here 9 years now. Your dad was here how many years before that? 22, something like that. Now, I know what you guys have done here. I've been watching even before I started coming here. I mean, I knew a little bit about what you were doing. And when you hang around people who, and what this addicted to the ministry is talking about, it's folks who have given themselves to the ministry of the saints. They've given themselves to the ministry for the well-being of the folks, is what that's saying. And, I was privileged to be pastor a long time. And during those years when I was pastor, I'm telling you, I kept my eyes open all the time, trying to nurture and protect and do everything that I could for the families in our church. And I wanted them to know that if they needed the pastor would be there with them. He'd be there to fight for them. He'd be there to represent them any way that he could. Little illustration, this is not in the church setting, it was a family setting. My father-in-law, who's in heaven now, it's been about 15 years ago now. He was in his early 80s. He ran a stop sign. Another car hit him, knocked his truck off in a ditch. Truck caught fire. And his youngest son, my brother-in-law, happened along just a minute or two after it happened, didn't even know that it was his daddy off in the ditch. He went off down in there to see about it, found his daddy unconscious, pulled him out of that burning truck. And my father-in-law lay in a Paducah, Kentucky hospital for 3 months in a coma. The medical people met with us. And I've been in those settings many times before, as you have, Pastor. And I read their mentality right up front. They were getting us prepared to pull the plug on him. Wanting us to sign papers that would let them pull the plug. And before I could even get my mouth open, my wife said, "No way. We're going to walk him out of here." And the end of the story is we eventually did, and he lived another 10 or 12 years. But with my traveling stuff all the time, I knew that I couldn't be there. Betty was there during that 3 months, pretty much nonstop. She's got 6 brothers. They were all there. They live in the area. They were taking turns waiting on him. But I told her and I told her brothers, I said, I can't do I've got too many things committed. I've got to do my travel. But I said, I tell you what, I said, every time somebody shows up trying to talk you all into something, I said, you dial my cell phone and you let me talk to them. And I said, now, he's laying there in a coma, but I think I know what he would say if he could answer his own questions. When it comes to getting oxygen, being fed and so forth, I think he would say, yeah, I'm going to make it, feed me. And I said, I will be his advocate and I will say for him. So anytime a doctor, a nurse, anybody got questions, they're trying to talk you down onto that signing off on stuff again, I said, put them on the line with me. I will talk for him. Now, that's exactly what we're talking about here. When somebody is addicted to the ministry for the saints, that's somebody who will go to battle for you. That's somebody who will stand there with you. We all need that. We all need that. And the best of days. Now, dropping down to number 6 in my list here, verse 16, let me find it. Verse 16, he says, submit yourselves unto such, talking about those that have committed themselves to the ministry for you. Submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth. He said, just go ahead and put yourselves under their leadership. Put yourself under their, in their domain, and you'll be fine. If they are addicted to the ministry for you, go ahead and submit yourselves. You'll be okay. And then there's one more here, down in verse 18. Verse 18 says, they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. And this acknowledge ye them is like saying to us, be obedient. Be obedient. Follow what they say. And if you acknowledge what they tell you, my dad said when I was a boy, Dad said, no smoking. Now, I could have gone around that. Dad said, no smoking. So, you know, every time somebody flashed a cigarette toward me, I could hear Dad say, no smoking. Dad said, no drinking. So every time I heard, somebody ran a can of beer by me, I could hear Dad saying, no drinking. So you say, well, what'd you do about it? I acknowledged what Daddy said. By the way, I've never regretted that on any count. Never. Never, ever have regretted that. Just acknowledging what he said. And when you and I consider what we have in our Christian faith and in our Christian experience, for us just to acknowledge those who help us and lead us, we follow the Lord, follow those who follow the Lord. Now, you say, but man, all these adversaries, we're going to have problems in 2014. Yep. I'm not trying to tell you you're not going to have problems. I'm telling you, you will have problems. But what we're talking about here are things that will stabilize you and will enable you when the problems are there. I mean, we don't really know what kind of a Christian you are until you have problems. I mean, you tell me you're a Christian. You tell me you're walking with God. And I hope that you are, and I accept that, and I'm not trying to doubt that. But we all find out what we really are when the problems come. That's when we find out how deep we really are. So, it's important for us to figure out some of these principles, claim the promises that God's given us, and then set those in our list of priorities. And if we'll do that, puts us in good shape. So here we are looking at 2014, brand new year. I'm already thinking about pushing the reset button. Pushing the reset button. Just, you know, I haven't led as many people to Christ this year as I want to. I've led some people to Christ, and in fact, the Lord's been good. I've had a good year in that regard. But I want 2014 to be better. I want to grow some more as a Christian in 2014. I'm not full grown yet. I want to keep growing. I want to have some impact for the Lord in 2014 in a greater way, better way, grander way than I have in the year past. And if I keep myself focused like this passage teaches me to stay focused, I have an opportunity to do that. So I'm going to watch, I'm going to stand fast in the faith, quit like men, just follow the list. It'll help you. All right, let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for the love that you've given to us. And Lord, I do pray that you will help us in these days to serve you and to serve you well. May all of us be strengthened because we've been together today, and help all of us in our celebration of Christmas and in our celebration of the new year to just prepare ourselves for days ahead to do even better than we've done before. Thank you for the privilege we have to be together today. Bless us, I pray, with your presence and all of the sweet things that you can give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.